Hi everyone, welcome to the Precious Pioneer audio experience. Kindness never goes out of style. Let's do something great today.
Hey creators, oh my gosh, you are going to be delighted by today's guest. Precious Pioneer is a pastry chef by trade and a multi-passionate creative by every means imaginable. She hosts the Precious the Foodie podcast, which is designed to uplift and inspire other people on their food journey or wherever their journey is taking them. Precious believes that everyone has a unique story. She delights in sharing them while uncovering their truth, while living her own truth and spreading kindness along the way. Coming at us from Dover, Delaware, everyone, please welcome Precious. Hi, Precious.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
I'm so excited to talk to you today. I mean, girl, you are a pastry chef by trade, right? But you are out there. I see you making YouTube videos. You have a blog. You've got a podcast. You're sharing food stuff, but you're also so obviously a writer. You're editing video. You're podcasting. I mean, you have so much going on. So I just... First, my first question for you, I just need to know, like, how the heck do you do it all? But also, I have two questions. I'm starting you off with two. But also, like, let's talk about this. Like, this is how I'm seeing you, but like, how do you view yourself as a creative?
Honestly, I think that I started picking up all of these different things in quarantine, like how this show is created. I think that we have all this time on our hands. And I think that I think with quarantine, because like you said, I was a pastry chef, but like many other restaurateurs, I was laid off quite a while ago since March. And I had to reevaluate why exactly I wanted to become a chef and what exactly was my purpose. You know, like, did I really just want to open up my own restaurant and, you know, be a Michelin star chef? You know, did I really just, was that the only sole purpose that I was doing it? And I had to figure out, like, my journey from there. And I really realized that I really love to share food with people and inspire people that way. And that's when I really just decided to put all my effort in my podcast show and just really have the opportunity to interview people from all over the world. And I think that having that opportunity, I feel like with Corona, a lot of people felt alone and isolated naturally during this time, and interviewing people from India or the UK or South Africa or wherever, you kind of heard similar stories. And I felt like even though we're so far away, like we are all going through the same thing, and that kind of felt wholesome. And it kind of sparked this joy in me that I didn't really know that I had, that I really love hearing the stories behind people. You know, I think that we have, it's not so much what's on your plate, but like the people and the stories that, you know, how the food even got there. And I think as I do that more, it's just, I'm finding what I really want to do as an occupation. And so I think I picked up all of these different creative outlets to kind of showcase that.
Oh, it's beautiful. And I hope that everybody goes out and checks out what you've got out there, because you're interviewing really interesting people. I have listened to a few of them. And one of the ones you talked the other day to somebody who's creating a beer that doesn't have any alcohol in it. And you're talking mm-hmm. to comedians, and you're just talking to all of these really unique people and sharing their stories. And it's really cool. But something that you said a minute ago that I think is striking a lot of us right now is that reevaluation. Like, we are mm-hmm. in a time, we're in a year, 2020 has been so interesting in that way. And it's really made a lot of us step back and think, what do I want out of life? Which is, man, maybe we should have been doing this a while ago. You're young, you know? And so I almost think that some people are so lucky. That's a weird thing to say. That's a weird thing to say. But it is.
I think it's definitely a double-edged sword, because one of the biggest things that when I tell guests on my show is that there's only so many CEOs that you can have on your show before it's just like, okay, we get it. You're like successful. So I think it's so ingrained in American culture, especially. It's like, what do you do? And I think we have to look beyond that, because we're so much more than what we do. It's like, who are you behind? Like sure, you're a business person, you're this, I'm a chef, whatever, but like, who are you? You know, like, where'd you grow up? How's your family? How are you today? You know, like, I think having these conversations and normalizing them can make people feel less alone, like more like, and I think that's also what food does. Like when you sit down for a meal with other people, you have this sort of deep conversations. And I think that's the essence of where I'm trying to get to, you know, like, how did you even get to that place? Why? What's your why? What's your passion behind your job? Because there's so much meaning behind that. And if you don't have that, then, you know, it's like, why are you working there? You know, like, I think every day should be fueled by that.
Oh, I love that. You hit on so many good things there. And one of those being identities. And I even kind of, I realized I did it to you when I introduced you. I'm like, she's a this, she's a that.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's how we want to talk about it. But it's like, at the core, you're a human being and you're a person with desires and all of these things. So I love what you're saying there about that.
Yeah, exactly. And like, the thing is, even what you shared when you're explaining why you created this show, I think that's the essence of it, to bring positivity to people. You know, that's inspiring within itself, you know, so you're not just a podcaster or, you know, or a content creator. You're like so much more than that. You actually hold value to other people, tangible, that they can like, or I guess intangible technically, that they can take with them, you know? And so I think that's equally powerful as like your title or whatever it is.
Yeah, I totally agree. Yes, Precious and I were chatting just a little bit before we started this interview, and I was telling her some of why I started the Creative Commute, and that when I look at what you're out there doing, it's very similar in that it's like, oh, I've just found that I'm passionate about helping people, you know, step into something new. That's what I'm passionate about. But, you know, you're talking about inspiring people and figuring out what is that thing and getting to the core of the root of what really makes people tick. And I just think it's something that a lot of us haven't spent a lot of time thinking about these things. And maybe we're not, I don't even know if we need to be taught, but like, have we forgotten or have we just not taken the time to think about that?
Yeah, it's definitely, I think it's definitely both, but it's also a place of privilege to even think about it. I think we also have to address that. You know, I think obviously some people are caught in situations or in jobs simply because that's the cards that they were dealt. It's also a things of survival. And I always make a point to say that because like, even if you're not working on your passion project right now, you may not have the luxury. And so I think addressing that, especially in American culture with gentrification and how minorities are treated and things like that, you know, like it's just a matter of access. And so I think that it could be a priority if you have it, but also it's very understandable if it's on the back burner for right now. And if you work on it like 1% each day, like a couple of hours on your passion project or whatever it is. And I think as long as you're in tune with yourself and understanding that I'm only working here to get to another place, just recognizing that within yourself could inspire you to make that change or transition, even if it isn't this moment right now.
Yeah, you make some very important points, no matter that everybody's situation is completely different and everybody's situation is unique and we're all living our life. You know, you're living your life, I'm living mine, and every listener is living their own as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think that that's something actually that I notice you talk a lot about, the journey, and, you know, no matter where you're at on your journey. I mean, you're talking about some people might be in a different place than where you're at or where I'm at. So, you know, if somebody just wanted to kind of get started, they're listening to this podcast and they're like, I don't have time for this. I'm in this place where I just don't even know, you know, like, what is one thing that they can do? What's a step that they can take to get started?
Honestly, I think even just using this time to figure out who you are seems to be really underrated. I think that especially with the access with social media and everything, like, it's very good in many ways. It's also very diminishing because you constantly want to compare yourself to what other people are doing or the greatest new thing. And I think sometimes in isolation, just figuring out like who, not only who you are, but why you want to do certain things. Just being very conscious of that could make all the difference in the world. Because sometimes we choose opportunities because they're convenient or maybe it pays a little more. But it's like, why choose that job? Like, if it pays a little bit more, like what does that money mean to you? Is it to buy new items or is it to move to a new location? Like, I think just being in check of like why you make certain decisions, because at the same time you could pick a job that pays a little bit less, but it makes you so much happier. So it's like, you have to figure out where your value lies. And I think that sometimes we get caught in these jobs and situations that we're not really happy with because we choose other options because it just seems like the right thing to do, even though that's not what's best for us at the moment. And I think the first step that you can do is just figure out like why you're in this spot in your life. And it sounds so simple, but it could take a lot of time because you could have gotten there through different traumas, or you could have gotten there from certain situations, like you lost your job and certain things. And I think forgiving yourself is also a really big role in that, because I think sometimes we put so much pressure on ourselves that we feel like we're supposed to be somewhere. But I think for all the listeners out there, that you are exactly where you're supposed to be right now, and accepting that and finding grace with that could really motivate you and inspire you to move in this life, like where you, taking the step where you actually want to go. I think that really could help you.
I love that. That self-forgiveness. And sometimes we don't even realize that we might need to.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. That is a big one, I think. So I have a question for you, talking about all of this stuff and taking the next step and figuring out, you know, who you are. How has that happened for you?
For me, so it's so funny because I was being interviewed by another podcaster. I forget his name, but he is all about, it's like therapy being on his podcast. Like, he asks these very deep questions that really force you to reckon with things that you're afraid of. And I think it was just when I was laid off, you know, feel like I'm incredibly ambitious. And so I wanted to do everything at once, and I wanted to hit certain milestones. Like, I planned to go to culinary school in January. And so this year I was saving up to afford it and all these different things. And when I had lost my job, I was just like, well, what do I do now? Like, what if my plan is like destroyed? Like, I'm sure a lot of other people have felt, you know, like you had plans in 2020. I'm sure everybody did. And just dealing with that shock, I was just like, in a sad place, you know. And he asked me these questions, like, why is it so important for you to meet all those marks right now? Like, why do you feel that way? Like, what's the point of like, okay, I need to do this and this and this and this and hit this by I'm 30 or whatever, you know, why do you hold that so close to you? And I felt like once I thought about it, I think I just wanted to be on this timeline that I put pressures on myself that did not need to be there. And once I realized that, you know, like, even if I don't graduate in the next 10 years, like, I still would do it and I would still be happy with that. And I can choose every day to do what I love, which is like help people and inspire people through food. I can just find another way to do it. And I feel like coming with that realization really helped me to kind of learn to let things go that are out of my control. And just letting go of pressures that you put on yourself can be so beneficial, because at the end of the day, like, you can motivate yourself, you can do all these things, but like, if it's inhibiting it, causing you to feel that sadness or whatever, like, you are the cause of that, then it's just unnecessary. And I think that sometimes just taking that moment to let it go and can be really freeing. And that, it sounds so hippie, like it could be freeing, but like, no, it's just like really calming. You feel a little bit more at peace going through each day. And I think that's what really helped me. Just, you know, I can't control, you know, the presidential election. I can't control like whether or not, you know, the flights will let me travel to my culinary. I just can't control that. So I learned to let it go, and it's made me a lot happier, I think. So
yeah, that's such a good idea. The idea of letting go it's kind of hard to grasp, honestly. Mm-hmm. But then once you do it, it's like, oh, oh, I can.
Yeah.
I actually can do this.
Yeah.
And it makes you kind of realize that all of the things that you are holding on to, and a lot of those are pretty self-sabotaging, you know, like blaming yourself and feeling like things are your fault all the time. It's like this, it's this vicious cycle of just hurting yourself and holding yourself back.
It feels natural. It feels natural because we do have these goals and milestones. And as soon as like an obstacle is in the way, then we feel like we have to bear the weight of it. And I think just talking with people, whether that be you or like other people who are going through the same thing, can make you feel like you're not alone in that situation. And then it helps, you know, if you do struggle with that, you know, like walking around with a clenched fist, like it's just very stressful. And so just, you know, just letting it go really could help a lot.
Yeah. I think that's amazing advice. And I love that it was actually another person just asking you some questions that helped lead you to that self-reflection. So if anybody is listening to what Precious just said, go back and listen to some of those questions that were prompted to her and think about that for yourself. Because a lot of people right now are in this position of, you know, having had their jobs disrupted, or maybe even it's been so disrupted this much, like all of a sudden we've been kind of like shaken up and we're thinking differently than we thought in March.
Definitely. I think the show is called Letting Go of Control. And honestly, I think I cried in that episode. Like it was really therapy for him to ask me that. And he's just like, and he felt really bad, which is really funny. I was like, no, I just cry over everything. I'm very sensitive. So I think it really could help you, because it was just I think when you're faced with truth, it's like, you know, I call it like the boyfriend syndrome. Like, you know, like there's more fish in the sea, like, you know, the truth, but having somebody else point it out to you makes it more real. Like it makes it easier to understand, you know what I mean?
Yes. Yes, it does. And having conversations with other people about some of these things that feel very personal, we hold so much inside and we feel like I have to figure it out. Like I have to figure this out for myself. And we try to do it all ourselves, but really stepping out, getting a little outside perspective, allowing somebody to ask you those questions. I mean, being on a podcast, having a podcast puts you in that position of having some conversations, which is something that I have personally gained a lot of benefit from myself.
Me too.
we can have those conversations with people we just don't. And it's like, oh, let's all just talk about the things that matter.
Right. I think that we don't want to feel burdensome. I think that's something that we all carry, like whether we're sad or anything that isn't a highlight reel. Sometimes we feel burdensome to reach out to people like, hey, how are you? And it's just like, we're fine. You know, hi, I'm fine. Hi, I'm happy, whatever. But like, you can't respond like, oh, I'm actually sad today. You know, like it's just like a little bit taboo. And sometimes I feel like putting that pressure on somebody, not necessarily could help, but like they may feel the same thing. But I feel like that breaks down a wall that helps create a space where you could talk about that, you know? So I think that normalizing other emotions really develops stronger friendships and stronger communication with people, because I don't think anybody's happy 24/7, you know, it's a little bit exhausting. And so just being honest, be like, hey, you know, I actually didn't have the greatest day, or I'm struggling with this, could help create a trustworthy space where they can be like, oh, you know what, I'm actually struggling with this too. And it could really be healing.
Yeah, totally. And something we don't think about, and I'm just as guilty as the next person on social media, is how burdensome our bright, shiny picture that we paint on ourselves can be on others. You know, we're all looking at each other's most beautiful sides sometimes on social media. We're like painting this picture, and it can be a lot for us to just be looking at all the good stuff all the time. And then we're comparing that against ourselves.
Right. Exactly. I think that's why I really got into content creation, because recently I was thinking about like a mission statement. I'm like, there's got to be a focal point at some point. And I was thinking like, if I'm going to post online, I really want it to be like open and honest, and not necessarily like super transparent. I want to have some sort of privacy, but I want people to kind of be inspired by like just raw honesty, you know, because I think in some regard, like I think I think the biggest example that came to mind was how Chrissy Teigen posted that about her child a couple of like a month ago or something. And she got a lot of backlash, but her response was just that she posted nothing but her highlight reels over years and everybody really loved her with her kids and stuff. And she's like, well, you got to post like the bad stuff too, because life isn't all about like the flashy stuff. It's also about the really sad, traumatic things. And I think normalizing those conversations for all the other mothers who had experienced that was really such a beautiful testimony, because there are so many women that go through the exact same thing. And it's that small token of normalizing that sort of behavior. And I think that we can do that each day on like a smaller scale of whatever we're going through. And that's the first thing that just came to mind when that happened.
Yeah, I think it's so true. Just talk about the real stuff that matters. I'm also very passionate about that, because I feel like I have felt weird about it for a long time, and I have tried mm-hmm. and over the past year or so to gain courage to start doing that. And I noticed that something that you do like to talk about is courage. I actually saw this something you'd posted on Twitter, I think it was you weren't made to be afraid. And I was like, oh, I love that. I want to put that on a post and share it. And I was like, this is amazing. So just talk about your passion for courage.
Honestly, I think I got that from a Bible scripture or something. Because the thing is, though, I think that each individual, like religious or not, like we are created with so much power that I think that if we just tapped into it, like what we actually believed in, like if every idea, like we actually pursued it, could happen, like wouldn't you want to go for it? And sometimes I think about it, I'm like, whether you want to be a professional runner, singer, dancer, just think of anybody who's already hit that milestone, whether that be Beyonce, Usain Bolt, the other swimmer guy, Michael Phelps. They have already reached that achievement. So that just goes to show that it's possible. And one of the biggest things that I like to think about is that fear will never go away. But the thing is, though, the power that's in us is we get to control how big of a role it plays in our lives. And so we could either let it just stop us from doing every single thing, and we could quarantine our entire lives. That's perfectly fine if that's great for you. But on the other hand, if we had the courage to just take that leap and try, it could be monumental to your life. Could you just imagine like what you could actually do if you just tried it? And even if you failed, you would still have the biggest life lesson to get better. And I think failure is underrated, honestly. I think failure is a form of winning. And I think it's just like the best thing, because it's honestly just one step closer to the mark that you're trying to hit. And you're so much well better off than if you would have never tried at all. And it could definitely work on its packaging. Don't get me wrong. Like failure can kind of suck internally for your feelings, but like, always in hindsight, looking at it, you're like, wow, you know, I did that. I could do this a little bit better. Let me try again. It gives you that courage to just try it again and to keep going. And I honestly think that's where that kind of courage and that like fearless mentality comes from, because I think there was a moment where I was just very fearful to travel, you know, as a woman. Like I was just like, oh my gosh, I'm so afraid. Like, what if this happens? And what if this happens? And I'm like, I can't like not travel at all because I'm just so terrified. That's ridiculous. And so I just had to figure out like, where does fear come from? What can I do? What's in my power to do that? And so like, obviously I would like look into how to be safe and like how to travel with people and like all these different things. And so I felt secure and I could do everything in my power. And other than that, like that's all I can do. And I think if we took that same approach to everything, we could all be like really fearless in whatever occupation or whatever it is that we want to do.
Oh, girl, you are speaking my language totally. I'm very passionate about fear and the things that sometimes it's a caution. You even think about travel. I think that's actually a great example. It's a caution. You know, you're a woman. Mm-hmm. We're taught, hey, be cautious of this, but we sometimes take a caution and turn it into a blockade. Mm-hmm. And we let it hold us in place. When really it's that idea of what you just said, get to know it, understand why it's there, and then you can make a decision on whether or not that fear should stop you, because some fear should stop you. You probably should not just go walk off of a bridge. There's a reason that our body says stop.
Yeah, but exactly.
A lot of these other things are not something we should be fearing.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that statement, like you weren't made to be fearful. It's like you were made to be kind. You're made to be adventurous. You're made to be so many other things. And so I think that sometimes it just depends on where our focus is. Like we can focus on the fear aspect, or we can focus on our strengths, you know? So that definitely plays a factor as well.
Yes. And I do think that humility, a lot of us were raised to have a lot of humility, and in turn that can kind of hurt us because we don't focus on our strengths. We focus so much on our weaknesses and we kind of play down our strengths, even to the point of playing them down to ourselves, not only to others, but we play it down to ourselves.
Exactly. Sometimes, yeah, we definitely have a lot of self-doubt. I mean, at least I know me personally. I think there's imposter syndrome of like, oh, I actually can't do this. Am I qualified? And it's like, who cares? You know, just shoot your best shot. And then if people laugh, like you did it. Like, I just think that we need to applaud ourselves for our small wins. Cause I was watching this show and it inspired me. I think it was just like a cartoon and the coach or something was talking to this kid. And he's just like, if you don't believe in yourself, then you might as well not even try, because nobody else is going to believe in yourself as much as you do. So you need to have that like internal strength. And I'm like, oh wow, I should probably start believing in myself then, you know? So I think that message goes a long way.
Right. I love that idea of applaud yourself for trying. Just try it, you know? And I do think there's this idea too of experts. Like you have to be an expert at something to do it. And so then we stop ourselves from even trying something because, oh, I'm not the expert. That's not my role. You know, that whole imposter syndrome thing.
Exactly. Cause like even experts started from novices, you know, like, so I just, that's how I take it. Like even as I call myself like an aspiring chef, a home cook, whatever. And there's a whole bunch of, what is it, bureaucracy around the culinary industry of what can, how do you consider yourself a chef if you don't have your white coats and like you're not certified in certain things? But if you can cook, you're just a cook. You can, that's what it is at the end of the day. So it's just, you can take whatever it is that you want if you're willing to work for it. And titles at the end of the day don't really align with your skill set. And so just take that with a grain of salt in whatever industry that you're in, you know?
I totally agree with you. And I actually think this is my personal thought and opinion, is that all of those ideas of what an expert is about to shift on its head. You know, the way that the world is changing and the way that we can all learn and grow in so many, many different ways than we ever had before, it's shifting. And if you can learn to do it, then you are the expert at, you know, you are you, right? And you're the only one who can do it as good as you could do it.
Exactly. And there's so many, like, it's like a hodgepodge of like creatives now. So you can be there's like an expert in like food photography, which is just like just food photography. So there's so many different elements that you can just combine now that it's actually really quite hard to define. Some things are obviously like doctors, you're just gonna have to, you know, follow the narrow line there. But and certain, when it comes to anything with creative expression, like you can just really be an expert on whatever topic, on tangerines, if you feel like it, you know? So it just really could be anything.
Yes, if you're passionate about it, which I think what is so cool about what you're doing is inspiring people through food. Like it sounds like it's so cool. So can you talk to us about that idea?
Honestly, I think I just really love food as a whole. Like I love from like just eating it, obviously, to cooking it, but honestly, the more I discovered more about it, I really love the economic side of it, of why certain people have access to it and why certain people don't, how it contributes to the climate crisis. I think I just really wanted to become a really green, sustainable chef, and I wanted to figure out how I could do that. I wanted to figure out why certain areas were marginalized and didn't have access to proper food, and there's food deserts in America. So the only local food of like fresh produce they have access to is like corner stores, which doesn't count, you know, Cheetos and Taco Bell really doesn't cut it in the side of nutrition. I was really interested in the obesity rates in America and how our food and how our diets are being changed and manipulated, and proper access to food is just kind of insane in that aspect. I'm really passionate about GMOs and organic versus not organic and pesticides and why certain people have access to like organic clean food, but other ones are sprayed with pesticides where they could get sick. I'm interested on that aspect, but I'm also interested on the grander scheme of like the culture and the tradition behind food. And I really wanted to showcase that. And so I think that everything that I'm working towards now is kind of creating content that showcases food in a way that inspires and makes it relatable, but then also connects people to the actual economic sides of it. But that side's pretty dry. Like if you just talk to people about like how the farming industry is kind of a mess because we're trying to expand it and grow it in a way Mother Nature really didn't intend to, people are like, yeah, whatever, I'm just gonna order my cheeseburger, it's fine. But if you were to mention that, oh yeah, like we grew up eating cheeseburgers with my family, we live by a farm, and we were exposed to these huge agricultural things, and our rivers were awful because of this sort of system in place. Now that's a story that people can relate to because this is my family and this is what I went through. And I think just showcasing people's story of how they actually live through that sort of thing, it makes it more personable than just some big company taking over the world, because that's with every industry. And I think I wanted to really target that sort of angle because I think that's more relatable to that in a way that people can understand that actually inspires change. So yeah.
I think that's a beautiful goal and a cool way of getting at it. You know, telling other people's stories, it really does help you to connect better mm-hmm. to the meaning behind it. And I even think about actually the guy that you interviewed the other day with the beer. He was talking mm-hmm. about making no alcohol beer, which is fascinating. My husband, mm-hmm. I know, is fascinated by that. He's fascinated by anyone. anyone would want to drink that. But yeah. He was also talking about filtration and how, mm-hmm. you know, some of the filtration technology that's creating what he does is actually helping to solve the water crisis around the world, you know, areas where they need to filter the water. So, you know, that ties in, like, he's like, well, I'm creating no alcohol beer, but it's also, you know, that same technology is out there helping millions of people around the world, which is really cool.
Exactly. And I think it's stories like that are really inspiring because I try to interview like the everyday people are actually making the change. Like it may seem so trivial and so small. You may feel that like, oh, I'm just one person out of the 7 billion, but your one person activities are really helping huge communities and changing the world in one step or another. And I think those stories are just not important, if not more important, because it inspires you, the everyday person, or me, the everyday person. Like if you can do it, then I can do it. And I think that's really the message that I really try to showcase.
Right. Yeah. I'm totally with you on that too. It's everyday people. Those of us who we downplay what our impact can be, but then you see somebody who's just like two steps ahead and you're like, oh, look what they did, mm-hmm. you know, exactly. Look at what she's out there doing. And I just think it's really important to tell those stories. And I love that you're out there doing that.
Yeah. I think, it's funny. I feel like my dream job changes every year and consistently. But I feel like the more stories and the more people that I talk to, I think that I'm sort of fine tuning it. I would love one of those jobs where, you know, those shows where you like travel and you talk to people and you go to like a local village and you just eat with their grandmother and like talk about them. I think a show like that would be so fun to be like a host of and be like, oh, hi, I'm in Portugal. Nice to meet you. You know, I don't know.
Well, precious pioneer goes to Portugal.
I know. It just, sometimes I think about that and it'd be so cheesy because I have such a like a corny personality. So it'd just be so fun.
Well, I'm with you. That's actually one of my dreams too. I actually had an episode early in the season where it was write down your dream lives. And that's always one of my dream lives. So maybe mm-hmm. we can host a show together. Let's go.
That'd
travel.
Be so fun. That'd be so COVID. Fun.
I love it. So I have a question for you. I like to ask this question and whatever comes to mind is the perfect thing. But where is the magic in the world? Where do you see the magic?
Interesting. I guess right now where I see the magic for me is in Barcelona. That's where I'm going to culinary school this upcoming January. And so right now, as the day just gets closer, I'm just like, wow, I'm really going to go out here and do this. Like, this is, I see it as my first small step to what I actually really want to do, and kind of just hone in on those skills. And it's also an opportunity. It's my first time abroad. And so it's just like, it represents like all these different unique new personnel or new experiences that I'm going to adventure on. And I don't know, I'm just really excited.
That's amazing. That is so awesome. I'm excited for you. So I have to ask the obvious question that somebody might ask. Do you speak Spanish? Or Catalonian? Is that what they speak there?
Yes. No, I can survive. Like, I can order things. I can ask for directions. I could survive, but to hold like a conversation is a struggle. But the cool thing about technology is that it has advanced a lot. So now I have like these headphones that kind of translate my instructors. And so I don't have to worry too much about actual classes, but I'm hoping that I'll just learn while I'm there, because I've tried studying for so long, but it's really hard for me to keep up with it. So I think that immersion is going to be my strategy.
So I had a reason for asking this, actually, because I was curious, first of all, whether you did or not, but the fact that you don't speak the language and you're like jumping in there with both feet anyway, I just think it speaks a lot to your, the way that you treat fear and the way that you muster courage, and how you've been able to overcome some of those things, and that you're willing to take that step, because that's the kind of thing that would stop a lot of us. Like, well, I don't know, how would I do that? You know? So mm-hmm. I just think it's really cool that you're willing to go out there and do that, because it's part of your dream. It's something you want to accomplish.
Yeah. I definitely, well, I don't know what to say to that, but yeah, I don't know. I just think that you have to expose yourself sometimes. Like, you just have to, like, even though you, cause it's that, I think we are so fearful because we're fearful of being judged, or we're fearful of like being exposed to the unknown, cause we don't know what's on the other threshold. But at the same time, like, it could be like the best thing. So it could be the worst thing, but then now you know. But like, being tiptoeing on the edge every day would drive me nuts. Like, I'd be like, oh, but I don't know if it's like, I just couldn't do that. I would just have to go and face it.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. I just think it's awesome. So I wish you the best of luck on that journey, wherever that does take you.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
Okay. So, this has been a wonderful conversation, but I have two more questions. One of those is, what is your favorite food? Cause I have to know.
Ooh, that is so challenging. Yikes. Okay. I was obsessed with Japanese culture like a year ago, and I just made ramen like every day. And I think that's still my favorite food. Like, really good ramen is unmatched. Like, you have to go to a ramen shop that knows what they're doing, and it's just ask for extra broth. And, yeah, it's so good. So, so good.
Extra broth. That's all about that broth.
It really is, because they use the seaweed. What is it, like kombu? And so it's like fermented seaweed and like shiitake mushrooms, and they let it like cook for hours, like all day. And so it's like this thick, hearty broth that's like unmatched. And if you're in the Orlando area, Domu is so good. That's where you should go.
Oh yes, every Orlando person, go check it out. You're making me hungry. Okay, actually, this spawned another thought. What's your favorite thing to cook?
Right now, I think I just really love I still love baking and pastries. Like, I think my favorite thing to cook right now, like, I still really love making bread. It is so satisfying, because it requires patience. It requires a lot of accuracy. And even if you nail everything, it could still just be a flop, which is really interesting because you're working with a live like yeast culture. So you have to wait till it like poofs up and ferments, and you have to work it in a way that like doesn't make it too tough, and you want the little air pockets. It's just so interesting to watch the process of bread making. And it's so good. I'm a carby person, so I just love bread, and it never lasts too long, but I still love that process.
I love listening to you talk about bread. It's like me talking about words. It's like that thing that, I mean, I could just tell that you just love it. That's awesome.
So good.
Okay. So any parting words that you would leave anybody listening to this episode with?
I would say just go after it. Be true to yourself. Kindness never goes out of style. So whether good or bad, just always be in tune with what you love and express that. Because I think if we could just mirror that to everybody else, you know, I think the world would be just such a better place and everybody would want that.
Yes, I agree. Be a mirror. I love it. Okay, everyone, please go check out, you will not regret checking out Precious Pioneer and her podcast, Precious the Foodie. And she's on YouTube, she's on Instagram, Twitter, her blog. She is all over the place. Everything is linked in the show notes. So, and go check her out because she is the bomb diggity. I don't even know why I just said that. I just said bomb diggity. But you are the bomb diggity.
So. We're throwing it back.
It's just showing my age. So thank you so much for joining us today. This was such a wonderful conversation.
No, thank you. I really love being on the show.
Hi, behind the scenes, Precious here. I just wanted to share this little anecdote that we shared behind the episode after the recording had ended. I think it was just a nice, sweet sentiment. And maybe you could use some of the advice given, I guess. Okay, bye.
I enjoyed it. That was a really great conversation.
Good. I agree. I just think and I don't want to like keep commenting on how young you are, but like for your age to be where you are at, just like mentally and the things that you're accomplishing, like girl, you, that's awesome. That's awesome. I'm like, I wish I could go back and like change course, but not really because I've learned a lot of things along the way. But
yeah. And that's, you know, I think like, that's cool. I think that's the positive part of it. Like, I don't know. I think you're awesome too, like where you're at. And it's not easy on my end either. Cause I feel like in your 20s, you're faced with, that's like the age where you're asking like, what's my purpose? Like, why am I here? You know? And it's like not easy on the day to day. But I think just recklessly throwing yourself in fearful situations is the only way through it. So
yeah, that's actually really great advice. just go step into the fear.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you. This was so great. Thank you so much to Precious for coming and chatting with us today. That was so good. And I hope that everyone listening to this episode will go and check her out in the Creative Commute Facebook community, because she is going to share a tutorial video with us that you can go and check out and see her in action. But you can also see her in all of her places. She is all over the internet. Precious Pioneer, Precious the Foodie. Go check her out. And I want to share a couple of takeaways from this episode with Precious Pioneer. The first is to really figure out who you are. No matter where you are on your journey, stop and take a second to figure out, where am I? What do I want to achieve? Take the time to do that. And the next is to be true to yourself. And not only that, but be kind to yourself and applaud yourself simply for trying. Don't let those nasty fears hold you back. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. If you loved this episode and what we had to say today, please subscribe to this podcast, share the podcast with a friend, and please leave a review. I will see you all next time. Keep making the magic you were born to create. Bye.